everyone, welcome to Stories of InfoSec Journeys podcast. I'm Shruti Kamath, your podcast host. In case you're new here, I would highly recommend you listen to the introduction episode. And to others, welcome back and thank you so much for your support. Also, if you haven't given the podcast a follow on the social media yet, please go show some support by following us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn at Stories of InfoSec Journeys. Today with us, we have Priya Pandey, who's a manager with EY FSO cybersecurity team in Hong Kong. She has over 7 years of successful experience in cybersecurity, cloud transformation strategy, data security, and governance across multiple industries such as financial services, public sector, manufacturing, and luxury industry. In addition, she's an active contributor to multiple women in technology communities and has been a speaker for various profound public events on cloud and cybersecurity. She's an advisor for various technology communities and a non-profit organization like Women in Cloud and BBWIC. Welcome to the podcast, Priya. Thank you so much for being here. So in your own words, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure, Shruti. I think you have already covered the most of the parts, but it does consist of all the professional things. But in personal level, I just want to tell I am from India and I'm based in Hong Kong. I moved here for like almost 4 years back. And I love to travel around before pandemic. Now I like to travel around the island because I can't go anywhere outside. And I'm a bit of extrovert person, of course, which you might have already understood. So that's about me. And apart from that, it's just that always good to be connected to you. And you've really started a really good platform to, you know, encourage people to join and listen what is our journey as of now, and it's a really good experience to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Priya. So glad to know that, you know, you enjoy talking to me and being here and happy to come here and share your journey. So glad. Why don't you, like, you know, tell all of us how is that you got introduced to the InfoSec industry and what has your journey been like so far? I mean, I think I know like an overview story of it, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I think we haven't got a chance to talk about it as such yet. But yeah, so when I'm an engineer by profession, you can say that. When I was doing my engineering, towards the end of the like seventh semester or the mid-year, there was a subject called network security. I don't know why, but out of all the subjects, I got introduced to like network security in an extent that I started researching about it. And then I finished my engineering. I got a job which was not so much connected with network security or InfoSec at the initial point, but I was still trying to understand what it's actually all about. So then I did my CCNA. I did a training on it. But going ahead, then I read about network security a lot. I did all those research, and then I realized it's not only technology. It's a very huge, extensive network which has to be connected with different aspects. So then I got introduced to the people, process, and technology, the three key pillars of, you know, of course, the way we look at cybersecurity. And then I thought that, am I only interested in network security, or I want to explore around that I can be interested in developing those kind of skills? And then I got a job in InfoSec, one of the InfoSec consulting firm. And then that was the beginning of my journey. And then after that, it's like every year, I mean, if I start just telling that every year, I'm just learning something new. And it's quite exciting. And I'm very glad that I looked beyond the small network security aspect. It had turned out to be a different pillars altogether now. So that was my initial journey, which I still think that I'm sitting in a classroom, and then how it got connected and where am I right now after 8 years. So it's a really point-to-point journey.
Yeah, indeed. So, you know, looking back, how do you feel like your journey has been like?
I really, and I've frankly speaking, I've never got a chance to talk about it, but sometimes if I'm sitting here, I'm just doing some work, and some kind of term comes up like the routing table or the very basic term which you might have learned during your initial time, I get to a feeling that what I was thinking was very restrictive, very small. And now when I see the whole new possibility which I've learned over the time, it's very different. It did take a lot of efforts for sure. I remember there was an interview which I had to crack by, and it was for one of the networking firm, which I did crack, but I literally sat around 10 days continuously just to read about what exactly I have to do. So it takes a lot of effort when you are a fresher and you are not about, and now it's like, you know, when you see, when you, now you have a accessibility to LinkedIn, you know what are the trends are, but I'm not saying I'm very old, but of course in this 5-10 years, 5 years, the things have changed a lot. So if you see 5 years or 8 years or 10 years back, it was like LinkedIn was not there at all. And we didn't know what's the technology to get in. It was just in India specifically, we'll be like, you know, first we need to get a job. So at that point of time, it was like, I want to get a job, but something which I'll be interested in. And I'm from electronic and communication background. So I was very clear that I can't do coding at all. And I was like, I can't get into the level of learning the codes, and then there's something new coming up, and again learning the codes, and then connecting all together. So I was like, I need to learn something which I love doing. And that's how it turned out to be, like, from one place that reading a lot, researching a lot, and coming to a place, started working, and then still doing the same thing, but at least you're learning every day something new. So that's okay. About the journey.
Surprising fun fact, I did not know that you come from an EMC background.
Yeah.
So this is the first time I'm hearing it. Although,
yeah,
you know, we have spoken we a never lot spoke of times about before.
Yeah. I think we just keep talking a lot about the traveling and sometimes about the key trends which is happening around cybersecurity, of course. But then we never got a chance to talk about on which platform team.
I have to ask, how was it transitioning into it? And like, where did you get introduced to network security in that case?
Oh, so I think so when you see electronic and communication, it's not restricted to the wires or the illogical things, right? It also has a communication aspect to it. So there are a few subjects which is only dedicated to network security. They are dedicated to computer networks. So you have that, you know, you get that visibility during your studies, actually, towards that. I've done my engineering from VTU, Visheshwariya Technology, the Belgaum one. And so they have this subject about that. So it's not a transition, I would say. It's more like just getting to, out of all the subjects, which one do you like and go ahead.
Yeah. Understood. Okay. Yeah, this is like brand new information.
Is it going to be a newspaper?
Yeah, maybe we can. All right. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think this is kind of new. Even I was not aware about a lot of things that you just mentioned. So glad to know about your journey. I do want to ask you that, you know, while working in the industry, what has been some of your learnings and challenges that you faced?
Of course, the first key mantra, specifically being in cyber, is actually the constant learning, I would say that. And the learning becomes a challenge when multiple things you want to do and you're not able to achieve it. So I was, you know, when I was just beginning my journey, I'll be like, oh, this one is doing this one, the other person is doing this one, I want to do all of them. But then I sat down and I just listed down what exactly I want to really learn and where I can see myself in 5 years or 10 years time, that this skill set, if I acquire it or if I want to learn about it, whether it will be beneficial in my journey, because everyone has their own unique journey and we need to decide on the right time that what exactly we are doing, right? So initially it was a bit of a challenge that what exactly I want to do, but then when I got introduced to more like a strategy, and then you can say, because I'm in consulting, right? So one of the key aspects is like the strategizing the overall implementation plan or transformation plans and overall cybersecurity framework implementation. So I realized that I would love to do that kind of implementation work rather than restricting myself to just doing one kind of programming or one kind of application testing, etc. So I think it was a bit of a challenge to get to that point that I would say that I'm comfortable with this. But then over a time, you understand that what is actually best for you, I feel. And it doesn't come on the very first year or the second year. It comes after 3 to 4 years of doing your, just checking around that which one suits you the best or which one you like working, because the interest might be different from person to person, right? So that's one of the challenges initially. And now one of the challenges, like, of course, the new things are coming up. So you need to wrap, you know, just run yourself to understand what exactly is happening around. And one thing I really like about consulting is that because, you know, before it comes into any industry or before it starts getting implemented in the industry, we tend to, you know, try to understand it much before because we have to go and deliver to the client, right? So that's one thing that I really love, because before it becomes a trend, we already train ourselves, we train our peers, we train our team to be skilled enough to go and communicate to the clients. So that's something which I can always give a credit to consulting firm, consulting firms I'm working with.
You know, I have to tell, so when you mentioned about when you're starting out, you want to be trying everything out, right? I think that's the most common struggle everybody faces, what I've seen. When I started out too, I was like, what do I do? What's going to be more relevant? Like, what's going to be useful, right? So that confusion is always there. And especially when you look around and everyone's doing something or the other interesting, you just end up having peer pressure or FOMO that, oh, I think I need to do that as well, because if I don't, then I'll miss out on that and this. So it's really important that you actually understand what is that you really enjoy doing and go towards it, because otherwise you're just going to end up miserable, right? Trying to do everything and then feeling bad about yourself. I
think it's also like an analogy that it's like a buffet when you go on any place, right? So you find so many dishes, the other one is thinking that you find it more better, but the taste which you have, you might like only the one which you are planning to have, right?
Yeah, it depends. Exactly.
So you can't be just convinced that the other person is taking that in faith and that will be tasty, because his taste might be different than the other person.
I think it's all about catering to your interests, right? Because once you are interested and passionate about something, then you will definitely put your heart and soul into it. And I think you'll be more inclined to working towards it, right? So it could be any domain. So, I mean, any domain or any work for that matter, that's pretty much how it works. So Priya, I do want to ask you that, have you had mentors, and what is your advice for folks who are seeking out mentors?
Yes, so I have mentors. I won't say I had mentors, because I have literally continued with the mentors which I started with till now, and it's always really good to seek advice from the mentors. Just communicate what exactly. You need to be very open with your communication when you're communicating your next steps or your plan for the upcoming years, what you're planning to do, or something you want to learn. So that is really good. But one of the things that I would say to the people who are seeking for mentor is that, of course, be open about your communication. Of course, be very much clear what you exactly want to seek advice. But I would say at the end of the day, you need to think through whether it is good for you or not, because I've seen so many people. They follow mentors' advice and then they blame mentors. They don't take a responsibility, probably, that they're not happy with what I did, I would have done this or that. But I would say that people need to just, whenever you get advice, because mentors are doing their best to actually give you, you know, the advice which they have come up with their experience. And people who are seeking advice need to understand if it is working out for you or not. Because at the end of the day, you are responsible. And you need to be comfortable about what you're doing, rather than just saying that this person is doing that and he's saying the correct thing and I need to follow it. Just look for yourself whether it is appropriate or it is suitable for you or not. So that's one of the advice I would like to say people are seeking the mentors.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that, you know, it's important you listen to your mentor, but end of the day, it's really your choice, right? So I think I kind of learned that the hard way, that you don't really have to blindly believe everything that your mentor says, or for that matter, just because they have asked you to do this, it's important that you do it. Like, you have to question yourself, is this something that I want to do, or is this something that is going to be helpful, right? They would be definitely telling it out of their experience or their concern for you, but it's not necessary that you have to, like, follow all that they tell. So
you need to be accountable for what you do, right?
Exactly. That's right. Yep. All right. Okay. So Priya, I do want to ask this one question, which is kind of like my favorite. And one of our listeners had actually suggested this. How is that you deal with failures and criticism, and what is that you do to bring yourself back on track?
Yes, so that's a lovely question, actually, because we do all, whenever we are in this journey, we always get, tend to have this kind of something which you might not be happy about, or you have been thinking it's a failure. So one of the scenario what happened when I was moving my when I was moving the countries, and from geography to geography, the expectation from the employees of the profession might be different. So when I moved the geography, I was doing a project. According to me, it went okay, and then things were okay. And then towards the end, the project manager comes in, and he was not very much happy. And the funny thing, he came comes in at the end, and then it was like it's not happening the way it was, but we still delivered it. But then it became a little bit fuss about that, you know, because I'm a new joinee to the firm, and then it becomes like, oh, this was not done well, etc. But then at that point of time, 4 years back, it was. So at that point of time, I was like, oh, I think I made a mistake, you know. So I what I did was whatever happened, I listened to it. I started making a plan towards it. So I just accepted whatever was mentioned and just said, yeah, that's totally correct. And then I started planning my way out in a way that I want to prove myself that I'm not the person you might have thought. So I over the time, I did some critical projects, proved myself, and turned out to be okay. But now if I look back, 4 years back, the person I'm now, I would like, if something happens now, I would be like, first I'll ask for a constructive feedback, which I could not get at that point of time, because it might be different experience probably, and I was not very, very much overwhelmed at that point of time. I did turn out my confidence level a lot. I started doubting myself, and I was not very much happy around what I'm doing, and I'm constantly looking out at what's I think the other person is doing much more better than me, and I'm worthless, and all those stuff happens, right? When a person points it out. So it was really bad first phase of my, that period was something I was not able to accept that because every time what I've done, it won't be the best one, but I was never at the bottom. So for me, it was a very big shock that if someone is telling something like that. But what I want to tell people is that if someone gives you feedback, which I've learned over the time, and I wish I was told that before as well, that if someone gives you feedback, it doesn't mean that it is actually or something which you have to doubt yourself. The perspective of the person might be different. You need to first communicate and have an open communication and ask for the constructive feedback. And I'm very sure sometimes it doesn't have to be very constructive probably, but you need to stop self-doubting on that point of time. You might have to just tell them that what was your perspective, or probably you need to just open up that this was not, there was no support from the team, there was no guidance from the team, and I'm very new to this geography, and et cetera, et cetera. But we should not self-doubt if something comes up. We need to work towards it to make them understand what was our perspective and how do we actually come together and work it out, rather than starting self-doubting and thinking that it's only me who's not doing so well. So that was one of the, you know, the one of the, I think that's the key thing which has ever happened. Small kind of things, it keeps happening, but then you tend to overlook it because you have other things to do and you might be excelling on the other things. But I think the self-doubt, it's something which we should stop doing right now. We need to start thinking that if it is not happening, then we need to come to a point that we start working towards it and being more confident about ourselves. So that's one other thing.
So Priya, I think when you were telling about your experience of how to dealing with failures and criticism, I was able to relate a lot to it because I've been in that phase of self-doubt when someone gives feedback yeah. and like, you know, can not give it in a constructive way, right? I am a strong believer that feedbacks are important, and it is better if we can give it in a constructive way so that the other person who's there, I mean, they're actually trying, right, to get better at what they do. So giving it in a constructive way would actually help them and make them feel better, or help them grow at least. So I think it's important to give constructive feedback. And also over time, I realized that, I mean, you can't expect everyone to give you constructive feedback. So it's fine, and you should probably learn to filter out that whose feedbacks matter and whose doesn't. At end of the day, if anyone's feedback's not helping you grow, then you can choose to ignore it. right?
Yeah,
So
agree.
I think that's probably one of the ways to handle criticism, I would say. So yeah, I mean, I learned it the hard way too, that you don't have to cater to
Yeah.
everyone's criticism. And,
Yeah, but I'm very sure that
fine.
people who are just beginning, probably they might be going through the same thing and they'll
Yes.
be having lots of self-doubt. But one thing which I love doing is that when I see some person struggling, irrespective he or she is from my team, I don't know what happens, but I really take some time off and just go and meet them, and I just take them for a coffee, understand, listen, because I could relate at that point of time that what I was going through and I need someone to talk about. And I've really met so many of my mentors at that point of time that they tend to open up and they'll be like, I'm really glad that we spoke. But it just helps the people to talk about. But I would say it impacts people very much mentally at that point of time. So if we think that someone might not be going through a good phase of work specifically, because personal is personal, but if you tend to find out, you need to just go and talk. And if you talk, then better to keep it yourself. Just make sure it's a good and safe environment for the person to talk about, because he or she might not be able to open up with you if you have this perspective of sharing with everyone.
Yeah, that's true, right? I mean, being able to talk to someone about it safely without worrying is also important, because when you do that, you also get to know that you're not alone, and there are other people who are also going through similar things. And it does feel good that, you know, okay, I mean, there's someone I can talk to about this and feel better. And of course, there's going to be scope for improvement. So I think, yeah, that's very important that you're at least able to talk to someone in that moment when you're finding it really difficult. So yeah, that's fair. All right. So Priya, do you want to talk about some of the communities that you have been associated with? You know, what is that you love about them?
Yes. So I am part of the Women in Cloud community as an advisor. And I'm also part of the Breaking Barriers, BBWIC, which is a nonprofit organization as well. I'm board of advisor for them as well. And it's really good platform to be, actually, because first thing that the way we connect with the communities like around the world, it's not restricted to one geographical location. And thanks to COVID, everything being on, you know, Zoom or, you know, Teams is very normal now. So meeting on Zoom, just to do your camera on, it's done sorting the thing that even if you're sitting up across the different time zone, you can still connect to each other because you've been doing throughout the day. So I like connecting with the people. I like to understand how their journeys are. And especially in the new, when I see lots of women joining the cybersecurity, it's also a good kind of, you can say, good platform to be a part of it, learn about your journey. And then just like, you know, we didn't had at that point of time to know what exactly which part we should be going. So at least being part of this community helps you in a way that you get the right advice in the right time.
Yeah, I know. I think that's what these communities do. They're very helpful when it comes in terms of networking and also helping you with what are the next steps you can do. And especially when you're new, right?
Yeah.
So you're like so clueless as to what to do, where to go. So these communities definitely become a big help, I would say. So, yeah. So Priya, while you are doing all of this, right, what has been your source of motivation that keeps you going?
Well, if you see my overall journey, so it did start with the information security, like normal ISMS implementation. Then I was like, no, I want to learn more. Then it went to third-party security assessments and then implementations. And then it went to data protection. And then now I'm doing more on cloud strategy and cloud security. And then the thing is, every year or every 2 years, I come to a point that I want to learn more, not just on a high level. I want to dig deeper and understand. So my source of motivation is actually till now the learning part. I love to learn about it. And I think being in this industry, we need to have that key feature enabled in us. Because if you see nowadays, the trends have totally changed. People are more thinking about security a lot. And it's good that you're already there in the industry and you're doing the, you know, a lot about it as of now.
That's there. All right. So with that, I think I'm going to ask you like the last question that I want to ask before we end this podcast episode. So what is your advice to people starting out and for people in the security industry?
Yeah. So I think throughout this podcast, I think we were just talking about the how do we communicate to the new joiners, right? But I just wanted to just summarize the whole point we discussed is like, if you are new to the industry, first, don't be overwhelmed that there's lots of options are there to learn. You need to just strategize and understand what works best for you. And now there are lots of good platforms where you can just reach out to the person, even if you have not met them virtually. The funny thing, me and Shruti have never met, like physically we've never met, and we've never been into the same city, but we are so connected because of all these platforms and everything, right? So it's easy to be connected virtually. So people do reach out to me on LinkedIn that I'm doing this, what should be my next step. So just call out if you're new to the industry, so if you see anyone is doing something which you might be interested, just to learn what can be your next steps, or just to learn what can be your next certifications. Probably that's something that I would say, that use the technology as much as you can, connect to the people, and just don't be overwhelmed about the options you have. You need to be very comfortable what you pick at. And it's more like an acquired skill. So don't think that if you just do it for 2 days and you'll be like, oh my God, I'm an expert in it. No one is expert in cyber for sure, especially the people who's just beginning. Because we tend to spend so much time to learn something which, like, it's a very big ocean and you're just looking at the tip of it.
True.
So for the beginners, it's like that. And for the people who are already there in the industry, I would say that it's a very different, it's been very different experience with the people around. I think it's just that it's good to, when you see a new joiner, it's always to connect with them, make them understand. And if you can just navigate themselves that which is good and which is a bad thing probably, or something which might work for them better based on their interest, I think that's really nice to be able to mentor rather than calling yourself a mentor, but just be an advisor whenever you see someone struggling. So that's something which I can say.
I think that's a very nice piece of advice. I've not heard anyone say that. That's really nice, Priya, that you also practice it yourself, where you do talk to new joinees or new people who are at the beginner level and try to understand what their struggles are or what is that they need help with. It's not something, I mean, I think people do that, but more as a mentorship thing, but not without really being a mentor, but still being there for someone.
I think
that's something really nice and sweet. And I guess if people can do that, that might really help a lot of them for sure. So, yeah, I think thank you so much. That's a lovely advice. I should say thank you so much for coming here and, sharing about your journey. For me, a lot of things were new today because I did not know a lot of stories that you shared. Although we have been talking for quite some time now, I think a lot of things that you shared today was probably like the first time I was hearing too. So, yeah, thank you so much.
It was a good pleasure to be here, and I hope that we meet soon.
Yeah, I really hope that too. That was it for today, listeners. I hope you enjoyed learning about Priya's journey. In case you want to reach out to her, you can find her on LinkedIn by the name Priya Pandey. Stay tuned for our next guest. Until then, stay safe and take care.